If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to that which we just sang, Psalm 31. Hear now the word of our God. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of Thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for He hath shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before Thine eyes. Nevertheless, Thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto Thee. O love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And in the New Testament, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, beginning in verse 33. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray and ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word, that our hearts would be receptive to it. Dear Father in heaven, we do come before you and we do acknowledge our need, our ever need. We forever need your grace. We need your help. We pray that you would enable us, O Lord, in our tiredness of the morning and the busyness of the week that has caused us to be such, with the distractions around about us, even our own thoughts, our worries, our struggles of the week that plague us, the thoughts of others, the concern for other things. May you take all these out of the way now, we ask, and help us to concentrate, to give due honor to your word, to listen attentively and obediently, that truly this word from you would be such that would be implanted deep within our hearts by the work of your Spirit, that truly you would bring forth good fruit for your glory. Speak, Lord, your servants have gathered to listen. In Christ's name, amen. Beloved in the Lord, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, near the very end of his letter, made a statement. It's recorded in chapter 15, in verse 4. Speaking of the rest of Scripture, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Our psalm that is before us, Psalm 31, is a psalm that has brought comfort to God's people for many, many generations. We find it quoted by a number of the saints of Old and New Testament, as well as saints before us. For example, Jonah, as he in the belly of the whale confesses his sins before the Lord, as he summarizes the realization of what he has done in his foolishness, he quotes from Psalm 31, Those that regard worthless idols forsake their own mercies. This is verse 6 of Psalm 31. Here Jonah, in the midst of his trial and tribulation, this psalm brings comfort to him. Or think of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the one who served the Lord for 50 years and may have had one convert, his secretary. In his message to Judah, quotes from this psalm, fear is on every side. He quotes it twice, once concerning Judah, once concerning his own ministry, the threats, the calling of a prophet. We find Jeremiah finding comfort here in this psalm. Again, David, even David himself who wrote this psalm, we find in his later years, as recorded in Psalm 71, verses 1 through 3, he quotes this psalm, verses 1 through 3, and finds comfort there. Not only the Old Testament, but as we read this morning, Jesus Christ Himself, as He hung upon the cross, and as He died, quoted from verse 5, Into thine hand I commit my spirit. And then finally, the final words of many in church history, Polycarp, John Huss, martyrs. Luther, Melanchthon. Countless other saints have quoted that verse as well. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. This psalm brings comfort. And for many of us, it is something we haven't even looked at. We're ignorant of it. How often have you stopped and meditated in the riches of Psalm 31? How often have you come away comforted by it? My proposition is before you in the outline. What is your comfort in times of trouble? Is it not the faithfulness of God, who is ever true to His promises? In Him we find refuge from the storms of life. Commit yourselves fully into His hand. Psalm 31, like so many of the Psalms, doesn't give us a real clue as to when in the life of David this psalm was written. And I like the response of Spurgeon as to why this is so. He said, quote, "It is good that we do not know at what time in David's life this psalm was written, because we might have been so busy in applying it to David's case as to forget its suitability to our own." I thought that was a great quote. We could be so busy focusing on how this applied to David that we don't realize that this passage, this particular psalm, is designed for our comfort as well. So what we will try to do is do both. We will try to look at it from David's perspective, but then also let's also look at it from our perspective as well. My first point in the outline, David's cry in distress. Notice verse 1. The theme is established. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Notice this statement that David begins with, the statement of I put my trust. That's the same term as found in Psalm 2, verse 12. In You I find refuge. And in Psalm 2, the promise of God is, blessed is the man, blessed is the one who finds refuge, who puts their trust in Him. And so we find here David claiming, praying the promise of the blessedness of one who puts his trust, who finds refuge in God. Notice the contrast here between David and the wicked, who do not do so. So David, if you will, in verses 1 through 8, pours out his prayer in a condensed form. And then beginning in verses 9 to the rest, to the end of the psalm, expands upon that. Have you ever done that as you came to a friend to bear your burden? And as you started to open up to that person, initially gave them just kind of maybe a summary of what you're struggling with. And at the same point in time, you test them to see if they really care, if they really want to listen. And when you realize that they are, then you unburden yourself upon them. In many ways, this psalm is just like that. He condenses his prayer in the first 8 verses, and then he expands upon it throughout the rest of the psalm. So let us look at those elements. In verses 1 through 4, we find a number of petitions for deliverance, based upon trust, based upon who God is. Notice those. In Thee do I put my trust. Deliver me because of Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for our house of defense to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. Notice that. He says, because You are my rock, be my rock. He prays based upon the truth of who God is. You are, therefore be. Experience in life what we believe by faith. Secondly, we notice his confidence in God, found in verses 5 and 6. Into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Notice that redemption is the basis of David's confidence. And then thirdly, notice a promise to praise and to give thanksgiving unto the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercies. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity, and hast not shut me up into the hands of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. We don't know if this actually occurred at this point, or if by faith he is trusting that the Lord will do that which he has promised. But notice his promise to be glad and rejoice in the Lord. And so we find these three elements then expounded throughout the rest of the psalm. Verses 9 through 13 is in David pours out concerning the troubles that necessitated and focused cause of this psalm to occur. Verses 14 through 18, David's confidence in the Lord. And verses 19 through 24, David's praise of his God. Notice that in verses 9 through 14, the serious nature of the trouble that David faced. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Kids, have you ever had that statement said to you? Boy, you are in trouble. In your families, this is what David summarized. I am in trouble. Mine eyes are consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. Have you ever been grieved in your trouble? Have you ever been overwhelmed to the point where your stomach is churning? The grief of your tears are such that they dry up. My life is spent in grief. My years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity. Notice that. Whatever the trouble was, David is concerned about his sin. Whether it be the real trouble that he is facing or not, he brings that to mind. And my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies. Well, that should be normal, shouldn't it? If you have enemies, you should be reproached by them. But notice David's concern. Not only my enemies, but especially those that are close to me, my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me outside fled from me. Would that be a discouraging time if you came to church and everybody headed for the back door when they saw you? In essence, that's what David is saying. Everybody avoided him. He was like the plague. He was an unclean thing. He was leprous. And everyone, even his closest friends, forsook him. This is the experience of the trouble that David cries to the Lord. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Why is it that man, so many men and women, strive and spend so much energy and time to be accepted by other people and to do things that people will remember them by? We don't want to be forgotten as a dead man out of mind. But that is what David cries, that he is forsaken by man and even by God. At least that's what his struggles are. His struggles are with himself and his struggles are with others. And yet we find in the midst of this great adversity, verse 14, but I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Notice David's confidence in his God. God is bigger than my problems. And then, finally, verses 19 through 24, David lifts praise unto God. He calls the saints, verse 19, O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Verse 23, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Look at that call. David gives praise unto God, and David calls the saints as well to come to praise and to trust in God. We find that David experiences what he believes. what he trusts in, even the Lord, is there to bring comfort to him in his cry of distress. Second point. Notice in verse 16, David refers to himself as thy servant. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. David is a servant of the Lord. David is the Lord's anointed. And Scripture declares that David is a prophet. And one of the callings of a prophet was a calling to suffer. We think of Jeremiah, for example. Jeremiah, as he quotes this psalm found in Jeremiah chapter 20, we read concerning Jeremiah's struggles as a prophet of God. O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors have stumbled, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Do you hear that cry, and yet the faith of Jeremiah? He, at one point in time, says, I'm tired of it. I'm just going to shut up. I'm not going to say anymore. And it says that the word of God was in him like a fire that was burning. He had to speak. He didn't have a chance, a choice. Talk about free will. He did not have a choice. He had to speak. God constrained him, knowing the persecution. This is the concern of David as well, the servant of the Lord. And also it is the concern of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord's servant, the Lord's anointed par excellence. We find in this psalm not only verse 5, which Jesus quoted, but a large portion of this psalm applies and refers to Christ. At the cross, Jesus cried out his last, into your hands I commit my spirit. Notice also verse 15, my times are in thy hand. He could have just as easily have quoted that as well. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from those who persecute me. We find in this statement, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great prophet, priest, and king, applying not only that verse, but even the psalm to his own death. Notice the suffering described in verses 9 through 13. Notice the physical suffering, the sufferings of self as well as the sufferings at the hands of others. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with crying. One of the difficult statements in the Apostles' Creed that some struggle with is the statement, he descended into hell. Heidelberg Catechism, I believe, has it right or has a good cut on what exactly is meant when we confess that Christ himself has descended into hell. Question 44. Why is it added he descended into hell? That in my greatest temptations I may be assured that Christ, my Lord, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, and terrors, which he suffered in his soul on the cross and before, has redeemed me from the anguish and torment of hell. He suffered in his soul on the cross and before. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, describes this suffering as follows. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, who being the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. And Paul says in Galatians, it is a curse to be hung upon a cross. Christ's suffering, though, was not just at the cross, but before. All the time that he lived on earth, he suffered. Can you imagine? The thrice holy God walking amongst sinful, rebellious creatures. Even his own hand-picked disciples, how many times does he have to clarify and rebuke and reprove and correct their misunderstanding, their sinful tendencies, their misguided zeal, their ignorance? How long have I been with you? Have you heard those words of the Savior? How long must I be with you? When will you ever get a clue here on what is going on? The Holy One dealing with the suffering of sin. It's described in physical terms. It's described being in the hands of the enemy, and so was Christ. But notice also, not only do we find groans and suffering, but the glory to follow recorded there in verses 19 through 24. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, that thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. How great is the glory that was revealed in the resurrection, the conquest of death, the declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with power. All authority in heaven and in earth, he declared, has been given to me. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, ruling and coming again to judge the living and the dead. Christ suffered and was glorified. Finally, and thirdly, this psalm is a psalm that we as well can apply to our own lives. In your times of trouble, who is the Lord to you? In your times of trouble, when you're struggling with health problems, with rejection, when others speak bad about you, when you feel like running away from troubles or problems, the pressures of work, of life, when the multitude of struggles, that's why in the Catechism it talks about this life as a veil of tears. Seems like many, many times we are wrestling with difficulties. Sins plague us, as well as others plague us. During those times, who is the Lord to you? To David, repeated and revealed in the psalm again and again, the Lord is his rock, is his fortress, is his deliverer, is the one who hears him when he cries, is the one that answers him speedily. The psalm is a psalm focusing on a covenantal relationship between Jehovah, between the Lord, and his servant. Notice in the psalm, who is the Lord? Verse 3, you are my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Verse 4, put me out of the net that they have laid for me, for thou art my strength. Not only are you the Lord, but you're my strength. Verse 5, O Lord God of truth. Verse 7, thou hast known my soul in adversity, and hast not shut me up into the hand of my enemies. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. You can continue on. Verse 14, I have trusted in thee, O Lord. I have said, thou art my God. Not only who you are brings comfort to David, but also what God can do. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Just about every verse in that psalm declares the power of God for David. He understood both who God was and what God can do. And it brought comfort to him in his time of trouble. And then also notice David declares, "Who am I in relations to you?" And the statement is, "I am your servant. I belong to you. I am in your hands, and my times are in your hands." Notice that in verse 15. "When I'm in a time of trouble, you are my Lord and Savior. At all other times, you are the sovereign. My time is in your hands." One scripture that I find to be a challenge to many is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Many times in adversity, people charge God. There are books written that speak of God either not being there when adversity happens, or being powerless, or being taken by surprise. But what do we find in the Scriptures? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance." Well, that's an interesting concept for Presbyterians, the time to dance. "A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. He hath made everything beautiful in His time." Everything. Even war, death, and hatred. He makes everything beautiful in His time. That's a challenging concept when you're in the midst of sorrow, confusion, rejection, despair, defamation of character, slander. The God, you're using even this and making it beautiful? Where is your eyes in those times? David's eyes were squarely planted, squarely fixed upon the Lord. He knew His God. He knew the promises of God. And he could find refuge. As we said, the beginning of this psalm, this whole psalm is summarized in verse 1. "In Thee, O Lord, do I find refuge." Notice, brethren, not only in our times of distress we should call and cry to the Lord to trust Him in all other times. But notice the exhortation to us. Verse 23. "Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." How is it that David can say those things? How is it that David can speak those words of encouragement, exhortation? Because he himself has experienced it. That which he believed, he's experienced, and now he calls you and I to love the Lord, to trust in Him, to find in Him good courage, to find in Him strength, to find in Him our hope. "Into your hands I commit my spirit" are more than words, or the last words of a saint. You could translate it, "I entrust my life to your sovereign disposition." Is that the cry of your heart? Do you trust Him? For only when things are going right do you trust Him to dispose of your life according to His purposes. Remember God's promises. That's the strength of this psalm. This is a call upon the promise of God. Be of good courage in Christ, and He shall strengthen your heart. I want to close by quoting from a Dr. F.B. Meyer. He learned the secret of appropriation concerning appropriating these elements found in the psalm. He was addressing a large group of children who became very unruly. Just ask any of the homeschool moms in this congregation. On the verge of losing his temper, he prayed in his heart, "Thy patience, Lord." Immediately, all anger and annoyance died. From then on, he used the same formula in every difficult situation. When he was lonely, he cried, "Thy companionship, Lord." When he was afraid, "Thy serenity, Lord." When he felt critical of others, "Thy love, Lord." He found the Savior sufficient for his every need when he appropriated by faith the promises of God. I thought that was a good statement. He found in Jesus Christ sufficiency for all times and every need when he appropriated by faith the promise of God. That's the summary of what David does, and David calls you and I, the Lord calls you and I, to do the same. Trust in Him. Find strength in Him. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, these are strong words. We avoid conflict. We avoid sorrow and suffering, like the plague. And yet this is part of life as well. The veil of tears that You have called us to pass through. Yes, we do thank You for the joy also. Joys found in life. Thank You, Lord, for all things. We pray that You'd enable us, O Lord, by Your Spirit, by focusing upon, meditating upon, thinking upon Your Word and Your revelation, upon You as You have revealed Yourself, that we may find comfort and help in time of need. We do pray that You would grant us the grace to take this psalm, to read it again, to incorporate it into our lives, that truly our lives would be committed into Your hand, that our times would be in Your hand. Guide and direct them for Your purposes, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.